Got it? Good. I want to continue talking about this series. We started it, kind of took a little break, and was going in a little, not a different direction, but just a little, elaborating on some other things dealing with God's DNA and what he established, the right, the path that God established in his creation, and how that creation was tainted. I left off here last Sunday. I read Romans 5:9. We'll read it again. We're going to actually go there to Romans 5. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there and kind of, we'll just get ready. Now, I put up some of these, what I did on these slides, I put up the main verse that we'll look at, but I'm going to read it in its context. So we'll be turning to these passages. How many have a Bible with you? If you don't, get something, slide next to someone so you can see it. I won't have all these on the slides, but I'll have the main verse that we'll focus on. But we're talking about, we're dealing with life is in the blood. You remember we talked about that the last Sunday. Life is in the blood. And we looked at the significance of that when God was dealing with the children of Israel, telling them about this understanding, making sure that they, he said, when you eat the flesh, don't eat it with its blood. He said, because life is in the blood. And that was a message. That was him letting us know that it was the blood. If the life's in the blood, I want you to think about that, those statements. Then we have the blood of Christ. And how many know life is in that blood? The blood of Christ. Life is in that blood. But it's not the old life. It's new life. Everybody say new life. That's what's so incredible about God. God, now here's the thing that amazes me. When did God do that? Before the foundations of the world. Try to wrap your mind around that. That'll make you want to shout right there. Listen, if you was thinking about not going to church, you think about that, it'll make you want to go. Before the foundations of the world, he did it. When did God, you know, somebody I heard the other day said, I wish God would come and just fix all of this. Like man can mess it up, but God's supposed to be the janitor? Is that what he is? Come clean up the mess that we make? Let me tell you, that ain't the God I'm talking about. He ain't no janitor. Before the mess started, God fixed it. We're just in the mess. Remember we talked about God's reality and man's reality? They're two different things. We can only think within a certain parameters. We are limited in our capacity to think it through. Why is that? Because we're finite. But how many know we're talking about infinite? God's not subjected by any parameters. We can only work within space and time that we're in now. I mean, no, God works outside of that. Are y'all here? You know, when you go, you got issues. How many's had some issues this week? Maybe last week. Maybe they piled up on you. When you start figuring out who God is, you look at your issues and you go, huh? Serious. It doesn't mean it don't affect you emotionally, because it does. We're just people. But when you look at how powerful God is, when you look at your situations, you won't put all your emotions wrapped up in that and let it drag you down. You won't let that happen because you realize who God is. I'm going to say this again. Think about this. When did God fix everything before it went bad? When did he plan Jesus to come and give his blood? Before he scraped dust from the ground and made Adam. Yeah, come on. It was always in God's plan. Listen, the God that we serve is not a God that just goes about doing things and when it goes bad, he tries to figure out how to fix it. He done figured it all out. Let me ask you this. What about grace? When did grace get given to you? Before the foundations of the world. To me, that I don't know. Sometimes I got to take a pause. I can be reading, I got to go pause on this because you mean to tell me before Jesse Morris made his mind up to get his act together and come and say, God, I need you. God already gave me grace to do that. I didn't figure that out on my own. Listen, I didn't wake up one day and I go, I want to get saved. God had already gave me grace for that. That's what's so incredible about God. That's why I love him so much. That's why I want to serve. That's what motivates me. We don't get motivated by emotions. How many of you know that that's not a good way to build the church? Because what happens when the emotion's gone? What happens when the song quit playing? If you build a church on singing, what happens when the singing's over? If you build it on emotions, what happens when the emotion? What about if we just build it on a lot of hype, just blessings? Let's build the church on blessings. Well, that's sometimes it don't look like a blessing when you're in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you're crying out with your sweat is like drops of blood, and you're saying, God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. See, not always in life things are going to go the way we want, but it's the plan of God. That's what how many are pursuing the plan of God? Let me ask you this. Do you believe that God's plan for your life is perfect? Then I wouldn't pursue any other plan. You say, but I don't even know the plan of God. You can find that out. This is what the Lord says. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're sure not to hurt you, but you felt hurt. Come on, let's be honest. Anybody ever felt hurt? You felt betrayed? You felt let down? Like God done run out on you? Your heart been broken. It hurts. It don't feel good when your heart's broken and you feel like God somehow did that. But let me just tell you this secret. He'll never run out on you, never break your heart. He's seen when you were going to hurt before you ever started hurting. And you know what he did in his wonderful plan? He patted it with a little grace then and said, I got you. Before you fell, his hands was out to catch you. That's what's so good about God. That's why I love him. That's why I want to get up every day. When I get up in the morning, I go outside and I say, God, are you kidding me? You're absolutely amazing. I got another day to suck the air that didn't belong to me. You made the universe. You put all this stuff and you made this air available for my lungs. And you made a muscle inside of me that compresses, makes my lungs open up and suck this brand new air in that you provided. I just want to tell you how much I love you. You're so good to me. Does that mean that we don't go through struggles? No, we're going to struggle because of sin. We're going to face issues in this life. It's all because of sin. Not because God bailed on us or God's delayed in his promises. Do you know that God's not slack concerning his promises? Not the least little bit? Not one little bit is God slack. But I felt where he was late. Somebody, come on, you got to help me here. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like God was late? He ain't never been late. But I felt that away. So, see, we fight all these feelings, but and sometimes we start tagging them on God. And so we think that's who God is. But I want to tell you, that's not who God is. He's absolutely amazing. If you shout to the top of your lungs how good God is, when you're done, you got to just take a deep breath and keep on shouting. You still can't reach the potential to give God all the glory and all the honor that he deserves. But where did all this start? One statement. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. God's glory will not be given to another. Think about that. God's glory. When I think about God's glory, it will not be given to another. You need to consider that. You need to take that into consideration. You need to let that minister to your life. Let it touch your heart because there's something about it that's good. Now we've been dealing with, off of that, dealing with God's DNA. Think about God's DNA. When God made man in the garden, he designed man perfectly. Man was perfect. Man did not have sin in his life. Adam was not a sinner when God made him. He was completely perfect. When God created everything, he saw that it was good. If God called it good, I'm going to go with that. I'm not going to break it down and look at the hermeneutics and all that stuff and see what the Hebrew and Greek says about it. God said it's good. I'm good with that. When he says it's good, what does he mean by that? He means that's it's a part of my glory. Do you know Adam was a part of God's glory? Y'all not getting that? I'm going to make him in my image and my likeness. Did that make him God? No, but he's an image of God. So if he's an image of God, then he reflects what? The glory of God. How many of you know that there's a big sun out there? Maybe not today, you might not see it, but it's there. It was trying this morning. I was up this morning, it was trying to poke through, you know? But it's still there, and I was looking at it, I said, it's still there. You ought to learn that term when you're going through something. You might have the clouds of despair in front of you, but it's still there. Is that helping anybody today? I was looking at it, and I said, you know, you just wonder about that. But let me just tell you about the sun, S-U-N. It's a bright, burning star that Almighty God put in place. Let there be light. And he's doing all of this. Now watch. Then he made the moon. How many know that the moon doesn't have its own light? How do we see it? Because the sun shines on it. Wow. So is the moon the sun? No. But it reflects the light from the sun. So the moon's glory comes from where? From the sun. Uh-oh. You want to know where your glory comes from? How many wants your glory from the S-O-N? I wonder where he got his glory. Did he have his own glory? No, his glory is given glory. God gave Jesus his glory because Jesus is the exact representation of God. Think about that. He's in his image. Was Adam in the image of God? Yes. Did Adam possess the glory of God? Yes, he possessed that glory. Did God give his glory to Adam so Adam can possess it where it diminished God's glory? No, because God's glory cannot be diminished, not the least little bit. But Adam didn't have his own glory, because how could he have his own glory that he produced by himself when he was dust? So how many of us thinks this is possible? You at the beach. Anybody ever been to the beach? You're out at the Atlantic Ocean or wherever, Pacific Ocean, maybe in Gulf of Mexico. We have some beaches in the Gulf, right? You're there and you're standing on the beach. And what you think the possibility is that a wave comes crashing on the beach, and when a wave goes away, the wave spells in the sand, I love Jesus. What you think the possibility of that's happening? Huh? Well, that's how the world operates. Somehow it just all came about over a long period of time. Well, I want to tell you, that isn't how it works. I believe there's a creator. I believe that there's Almighty God, Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. He's the one putting things in proper order and perspective. He's the one that assigns all these things where they need to go. So there wasn't a little wave and it wasn't a little twinkling little germ that wiggled its way and fell in the swamp and then wiggled its way out the swamp and then jumped on a toad and the toad jumped on a cat and then the cat jumped on a dog and the dog jumped on a monkey and the monkey jumped on a human being. Hello? This don't work that way. I'm saying there was a thinker, a God with a mind. He brought it all together and then says, okay, that's man. He looked pretty good. He got to look good. He's in my image. He's in my likeness. He ain't a whole bunch right now. He's just kind of laying there. He's stiff as a board. But watch this. This is God. And man animates. That's God's DNA. That's what I want you to get. I'm telling you this. You got to get that picture. That's God building in all the cells in that body and giving life to it. There was no life in what he gathered together until he breathed life. And man became a living human being. We have the first human being. But that first human being failed to honor the Father, his creator. And so God rejected him. Threw him out of the garden. Did he not? Get out. Before he threw him out, he said, you're going out, but you're coming back in. Isn't that great about God? You know, but God has to dispel sin, but he don't throw you away. Let me tell you, you ever felt thrown away? It wasn't God. You might have got that from me or somebody else or a family member, but it wasn't God. Don't be marking God with all the things that man is doing. Won't God just come fix this world? It's terrible when stuff happens and people are murdering one another and all the junk that's going on. We just need God. Well, let me just tell you, there's a plan in place. And it's about to happen. There's going to be a time that the Father is going to tell the Son, Son, it's time. You remember that throne I promised you? That would be your throne forever? That's not in heaven. Where's Jesus at right now? He's in heaven on the right hand of the Father. Is he on David's throne? No, but he will be. So where's David's throne? What's the significance of David's throne as we see it today? Where is it? It's in Jerusalem. Right? And it will be possessed by somebody else. When God says, go evict them. And it won't be a 30-day notice tagged on the door. It's going to be an immediate eviction. When the Son returns in his glory. That's what's so amazing about God. He's going to defeat the enemy at his appearance. And victory is going to be ours. Now, how many want to be on that side? Well, to be on that side, we got to deal with this blood issue we have. There's a blood issue. Now, here's where things are going to get very interesting, because there's a lot of people who think they're born again. And ain't one person who thinks they're born again going to make it by what we think. Just because a man can think don't make it right. Not what I think. It doesn't matter. I have to be obedient to what God's word says. So I'm going to show you the word of God, and then you got to say, do I fit there? You know, we're a piece. We're a piece of the puzzle. And there's the next piece that goes. I'm not a good puzzle guy, you know. I look at all that and go, okay. Hand it to somebody else, let them put that together. But how many's ever had a puzzle? How many's ever tried to put a puzzle together with pieces? Anybody? Yeah. All right. And understand it right. You just want to start with your parameters. So you find the straight edge. And you know nothing goes to that part, right? That's on the outside. Right? So you can start there. Then everything else goes in the middle. So you get a piece and you look at the shape and you got a piece in your hand and you try to fit it in. And you say, well, it won't fit. So you take a knife out your pocket and you carve on it a little bit, right? And you make it, there it is. Do you think you're going to change the picture? Just asking. How many thinks that you change the picture by doing that? Then you get the next piece and you say, that won't fit. You get a little sandpaper, there it is. I'm telling you, the picture's going to change. I promise you the picture would, because every piece has been cut and it's been mixed up, but it fits. But the burden is upon the person who takes the time to examine the piece and put it where it goes. And that's what God has done. Every piece is going to go where it needs to go. And who gave us the authority to whittle on it and sand it and fit it where we want. I want to ask that. Who gave us the authority to change the words of Jesus? I don't have that authority. Does anybody else have that authority? Because if you do, I'm gonna take my seat and I'm going to let you come do this, because if you got that authority, we need to hear from you. But I don't have that authority to change God's word. His word is His word. So I'm not going to whittle on it and sand it so I can fit. I'm just going to let the word say what it says. So when we're dealing with the blood, we got to be careful that we understand that, because there's this broad idea of salvation today that I'm not sure is fitting. I think it's been whittled on a little bit. Right? And we don't want that. So we got to check our own message. I don't want to be that way. Well, how many know we ought to check our message? Check it. We can say whatever we want, but we have to check it. Now, there's one way you can check it, and that's by the Word of God. So we got to take God's Word. So that's what we'll do today. We're going to look at this. So in Romans chapter 5, I reviewed enough to get us back on track of where we were. Romans 5 was where I left off, okay? But I'm going to read it, and then we're going to keep going and go to Ephesians. But Romans 5, we'll start with verse number 1, and then our key verse to look at is verse 9. Therefore, having been justified by faith, how are we justified? By faith. What is faith? Well, Hebrews tells us, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Basically, what it's saying is faith is trusting God's word. Well, if God says something to us, we got to trust that He's going to do that. Did Jesus have to trust Him? Let me ask you this. Did Jesus have to live by faith? He did. He did. He's like, okay, God, Father, I get it. If I got to go through this, then that's fine. Because I know you promised, I'm going to go back to your word. You promised me the glory I had with you from the beginning. When He says, the glory that I have with you from the beginning. When did Jesus have His glory with God? From the beginning. Now, I want you to understand that. Did that mean that Jesus pre-existed His birth? I know this is a tough spot. But I'm going to ask you again. He said, the glory I had with you from the beginning. So when we look at that, we say, well, He must have been at the beginning. Not pre-existence. But we have foreordained. God, can God foreordain anything? Just asking. Can He? Let me give you this. He says He was crucified. This is talking about Christ. He was crucified before the foundations of the world. That's what it says. All right? Does that mean He was suspended in outer space somewhere on the cross, waiting for the time to come so we can actually see Him on the hill called Golgotha? No. But in the plan of God, He would already happen. That's God's reality. That ain't my reality, not your reality. So, when Jesus Christ, His human Messiah, everybody say human Messiah. But we better get that straight. He knows what the Father's plan is. And He said, the things that I teach you, I don't know myself. They're not my words, they're His words. This is Jesus saying this. Think about that. Jesus said, these are not my words, they're His words, talking about His Father. So He said, I'm teaching you what my Father's telling me to teach you. Where did He get those words from? Not only did God speak to Jesus, but He had a Bible called the Hebrew Bible, what people call the Old Testament today. That's mostly been discarded. That's the truth. And we wonder why the church world is in the shape they're in. Because we under the new covenant. And we think the new covenant eliminates every promise and plan and purpose and prophecy that God made in the old covenant, that it's no good. The covenant difference is from a law standpoint, rituals. that they were forced to do. One being, when you eat the animal, like I said last week, don't eat it with its blood. Because why? Life is in the blood. He was getting them prepped and ready for what was coming. Remember, everything in the Hebrew Bible, and you'll hear me say that when I say that, because I don't like saying Old Testament. Old has this idea that it's worn out. No good. Yep, and you say, I don't think that away. You do. Oh, that's my old shoes. Throw them babies on when it's a day like today, right? Why? Well, you ain't put your new shoes on. You know, if you're tromping around in the yard and it's been raining and muddy, what do you say? I'll get my old shoes. What do you mean when you say that I done worn them things out? If they get wet and muddy, it don't matter. I'm about to throw them away. We think in those terms that when we talk about the Old Testament, sort of we think in those terms that it's done away with. It doesn't help us no more. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's not a good way to think as a believer. We need every word that came out of God's mouth. Every word. Faith come by hearing. Hearing come by the word of God. We need God's word. And he spoke words, and there's words written down by inspiration. When God inspired men to write, what was he doing? Was it just a tingling in their brain that woke up and they started writing? I believe God was speaking to them. He was speaking that word to them. They were writing it down as God, all they would do is dictate. God was the speaker. How many go on with that? I believe God was the speaker. So we got to make sure that when we study the scripture, we find out these things so there'll be a benefit to us. So I want you to keep this in mind as we go through this, okay? I was sharing with Brother Josh. I said, was having some computer issues, and me and Brother Nolan was looking at it, and finally things started to wake up and act right. And I said, I got 15 verses to deal with today, and I don't want to run out. So Brother Josh, sometimes they just kind of look at me and go, okay, 15 verses? That'll be 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Anyway, Romans 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So peace with God. How many want peace with God? You ever heard the term? You got to make your peace with a person maybe ill. They got to make peace with God. Well, how do you make peace with God? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't make it any other way. You say, but somebody told me. I don't matter what somebody told you. The Bible says you get peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the one paid for everything for us. Remember, we're dealing with the blood, too. So keep that in mind. Keep in mind also the blood that Adam had was perfect. It had no mutations in it, none whatsoever. No mutations. But when Satan... Let me give you this scene so you can pull off. When Satan comes and Eve is there in the garden, and the question is, can you have any tree? We can have any tree in the garden, but this one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we can't eat from that tree, because the day we eat from that tree, we shall surely die. That's what God said. Now, she's just repeating what God said, right? So she knew what God said. Adam knew what God said. What does the serpent say? You won't die. See, opposite of God, you won't surely die. You won't die. You'll be as God. So what he put in play was, if God's glory, what is God's glory? Moses says, show me your glory. What did he say? I'll have my goodness. You want to know what the glory of God is? It's his goodness. Now get your mind wrapped around that. See if you can write on that. We can live 1,000 lifetimes. How are you going to write about the goodness of God? Oh, you hear what I'm saying? God's goodness? Listen, when the first man failed, people said, well, you know, with God, he could have just started over. No, he couldn't. You start over when the first time you did it wasn't good enough. We're talking about Almighty God. When he does it, it's good. Why do you start over when his first time wasn't good enough? God don't have to start over. What he did was good. Before he put man together and man had the capacity to have his own will to break God's law, God already planned to fix what he broke. That's amazing. So Satan says, you won't die. You'll be as God. So the moment he says that, he's saying, God's holding some goodness from you. Because if you got that, you won't die. You'll be immortal. You'll be as God, as Elohim. Wow. I didn't die. Think about the serpent. I'm still alive. I'm here. Look at me. You won't die. Nobody's going to die. Don't worry about it. And so they broke the laws of God. God commanded, don't do it. So that was an issue. So Jesus, he comes in as the last Adam. Right? Is he not called the last Adam? He is. So he said to Moses, he said, I'm going to raise up a prophet. And I'm going to take him from your brethren. Wow. He's going to be just like you. I don't think God's playing word games there. I believe he meant what he said. He's going to raise him up. So what did God have to do? He took a little virgin named Mary. And he miraculously inseminated her by his power. I'm going to just ask you this question. Can God do that? This is what I always say about God. He can do whatever he wants. When is my brain going to put a restriction on God? Remember, you didn't have that one until you put that one in our head also. And every way it works and all the little electrons and all those things going and zipping down and making my arms move, my mouth speak. My brain knows to pronounce the word. All of that. You know, if part of my brain shuts down, I won't be able to pronounce words. But all of that functions because of the Almighty God. Think about that. So he put in play that part of my goodness I'm withholding from you. And that's not the truth. He said, I have my goodness passed before you. That's part of the glory. And we have to keep that in understanding as we go through this. So let's consider this. Through whom we have obtained, verse 2, our introduction by faith into his grace in which we stand. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. See that? And I touched on this last week. But I'm just doing this to review with you so you'll see as this thing continues. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about what? Perseverance. Perseverance, proving character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom was given to us. Is the Holy Spirit yet to come? Or is he given to us? Whom was given to us? There's issues there with how the church been brought up in that part of the understanding of God. Like somehow you had to wait for the Holy Spirit. No, they already waited. Let me say it again. How many was born in the book of Acts when the day of Pentecost fully come? Anybody here? I don't think. They waited. Your wait's been done for you. You got to get in the receiving mode. Quit waiting. I'm just waiting. They told me to wait. They told me to tarry. Well, they told you wrong. The waiting been done already. There was 120 in the upper room done the waiting for us. I mean, understand that. Does that come? To me, it makes so much more. So what happens? You step in the glory of God. You step in the power of God. You step in that anointing that God has already provided for you. And so if you're teaching people, they got to wait for it and wait. So they say, it ain't come yet. God's just not giving it yet. I got to still wait. And people live most of their life waiting on it. Somebody did the waiting already. Is this helping anybody? You got to walk in it. Step into it. Live it out because it's already done paid for. Amen? This is incredible. Jesus walked in the purpose and the plan that God had already done for him. So he was not one day where he was out of sorts with the plan of God. You ever been out of sorts with God's plan? I have. Boy, and I felt like ucky on the inside. Anybody else? You know, you find yourself sitting somewhere and you go, boy, I feel bad. I feel terrible. Ugh. That's because you're out of the will of God. Jesus, not one day, got not one second where he got out of sorts with God. If he would have, it would have been sin. We think he didn't just, you know, Jesus was okay because he didn't do the obvious things that we call sin. No, he was in the perfect will of God every second of his life. Every second. The Lord, whatever you want. If he says we need to go to Samaria, I wonder why. We need to go through Samaria. Well, we don't deal with Samaritans. Yeah, today we're dealing with them because the Lord's got that in my plan, and I won't be one second out of his will. And where are we going in Samaria? By the well. There's a well. Is this helping you? That's what I want. I want to be at the well when he tells me to be at the well. Some of you don't even realize, but this was God's plan for you to be here today. And sometimes every now and then we intercept the plan of God, and we go on, and we intercept it again. And you see those moments where you go, wow, it seemed like God is speaking to me. How many want it on a continual basis? We've got to get on that path and stay on it. Be sensitive to God. We'll get your last direction from the last time you heard from the Lord. God worked out this word to be spoken, and he worked out every detail in your life to see to that you'd be sitting in this building today. To hear the words, we could have spoken 1,000 different places in the Bible. But why is the words being spoken right now? Because he wants to give you information to let you know he loves you and cares about you. And listen, you might be struggling, but it's God's about to work it out on your behalf if you and I just see it. The way God's planned it. And in God's plan, and sometimes it's difficult situations in God's plan. And we bail on the plan because when it gets hard, we say, it can't be God. Jesus didn't do that. He's getting beaten. They got him beating him. And he's God, thank you. If this is the path I got to go, that's fine with me. And I'm so glad that Jesus, not one second did he get out of sorts with God. He stayed there. So we have all this stuff happening. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man some would dare to even die. But God, what did he do? Demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Much more, having now been justified by his blood. See that? By his blood. We justified by his blood. We shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Now go to Ephesians. Ephesians 1. I'm really glad that God did this for you. I'm so glad he did it for me. We're blessed. We don't realize how blessed we are. I know we want what we want. And when we get what we want, we call it blessings. I'm blessed for I get what I want. I'm so blessed. If I don't get another thing, I'm blessed. I don't need to. Listen, we got certain things we want that'll get us happy and get us to shouting. And God knows that. He says, well, if that's the thing that makes you shout, I wonder what I do. He won't give his glory to another. No, he won't give his glory to anything. So I want my worship to God to be based upon who God is and what he means to me and my understanding of who he is. That's why we have to make sure that we speak right about God, about who he is. So look at Ephesians 1, chapter number 1, look at verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at the salutation. What is he saying? He says, grace is from God our Father and. What does and mean? It means a continuation of thought. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see there are two distinct persons here? Two distinct persons. How many see that? Grace, maybe, does anybody see it? You know what is hard to hear? Hard to hear that. Sometimes Charlotte calls me and I go, she don't hear me. I wonder what a scream looks like. No. Verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Anybody ever played the game called It? What about, you ever played sports where they were, when you were kids and you picked teams? They line everybody up and they got two captains. Anybody ever have that happen and you in the line? You're not one of the captains. And they're picking out, they're looking at the tallest and the fastest, right? And you're over there going, you played ball before? Uh-uh. Guess what, when you get picked? Anybody to get my point? That's not what God did for you. Amen. You feel that way sometimes. You feel like that in life. But I didn't get picked. Well, let me tell you, he picked you. Amen. He picked me. You mean he picked me with all my nonsense and acting fool and carrying on and doing all that? Yeah. That's right. Amen. That's a loving God. He picked me when all that stuff was going on. And he just knew. Just keep plugging that word. Somebody got to keep preaching that word. Somebody got to keep living the life and the promises that because I'm going to use them, and the message is going to be clear to them, and they're going to come to understand it. I see, it's this way over here, but I see it. That's what I love about God. My, he's amazing. I love the Lord. He's seen it all when you were in your worst. I heard a man say this one time. He said when he was at his lowest, when he had messed up big time, he'd been in the ministry for years, and just he quit praying, he quit seeking the Lord, and just really got himself in a mess with God. He's about to lose his wife. He was in a mess. And he'd been in ministry all his life, a minister. And he said this. He said one day he'd gotten sick, cancer. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and says, I desire to spend time with you. And this is what his reply was. He said, God, if you want to spend time with me the way I am right now, there'll never be another day after the day that I won't want to spend time with you. He said, because I'm on the bottom. And yet God wants to spend time with me. I'm telling you, that's what God wants. If you want to know what God wants, he just wants to spend time with you. Even when we're not doing right, even when we're going, he wants to spend time with us. I want to ask you a question. Do you think God knew what went on in the garden before he come back and said, where are you? He still come. I just want you to know, he still came to the garden, even though he knew what they did. He still come, because even when you mess up, God wants to come and let you know I'm here. And he's done that for me time and time and time again. I love him. How many love the Lord Jesus? I love the Lord Jesus, because his blood is why the reason I can communicate with my Father. But let me tell you something. When I think about God, I got a whole different understanding about the Most High God now than I ever had in my life. Because before the foundations of the world, he chose me in him. And that's how he says, I'm a fixture. How am I a fixture? My only begotten son is going to shed his blood for you. And the DNA that was tainted and mutated by sin is going to be a pure line gene of DNA that's going to flow in your very body if you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. How many know God can fix your DNA? God can fix it. And I just love him. You ought to take some time every day and just tell the Lord you love him. I jumped in my truck. God, I've been busy this week. But I just jumped in my truck and I hit the river road to go back to the full lane. I got in. I said, God, you know what I want to do right now? I have no request whatsoever. I just want to hang out with you from now till I get all the way down to the marina. I just want to spend time with you. And let me tell you, instantly, it was like something moved in the cab of that truck. And he said, and I was like, okay, Lord, don't squeeze in. I'm going to have to pull on side the road. I can't see the lines. You know God done moved in when you got to tell him, okay, Lord, just back up a little bit. It's more than I can take. He was just amazing. And I just begin to tell him how good he is, and I love him, and I thank him for being faithful to me and giving me understanding to see this clearly in the Scripture. He has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Verse 5, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Do you see the word predestined there? That's not pre-existent. We predestined to the adoption. But do you mean God, listen, before he took the dust and made Adam, he knew Scott. That's amazing. There's a lot of people he's got to know before Adam to know Scott. A lot of generations. And there probably was a lot of generations of craziness. I don't mean anything by that, you know. They loving it over there. Yeah. Certain side over there. Yeah. But we're praying for them.
Amen. That's right.
But everybody had that stuff going on, right? All of us. But he knew me.
Right.
Now, watch this. He also predestined the son to be born to Mary. So what did God have to do? He protected every generation till she got on the scene. That's what God did. Listen, I know Saul hated David and he wanted to kill him, but he couldn't. I know Goliath said, I'll feed your flesh to the fowls of the air. You can't. What are you doing? Are you kidding me? You can't feed this flesh because I've been protected by God. Do you understand that? I mean, understand that God did all that for us. He protected us to get us where we are. We don't realize how good we got. I know we're faced with reality, which is everything surrounding us today. Everything we see, everything going on, all the troubles we got right now. But you don't realize what God went through to get you where he was. That's how much love he's got for you. That's why I want to serve him. It's not just about, I don't feel anything. You may not feel nothing for a while. But you don't live for God by feeling something. You know, you live by faith. You know who he is. You may not feel it for a while. Let me tell you, Jesus felt deserted. My God, he said. Does Jesus have a God? Every time I say that, I got to ask that question. Does Jesus have a God? Yeah, he's got one. My God, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm forsaken here. I'm alone. This is it. He's facing reality. Death is right staring him in the face. And what is death saying? I got you. Death is screaming, you're mine, you're never getting out of this. But death's got his day. Death might be pulling folks out left and right, but death's got his day. The last enemy to be put down is death. Death's got his day. You know what I like about it? God orchestrated all of it and says, I'll see to it that'll never happen. You won't surely die. Remember that? You won't die. And so death, because of one man, because of their iniquity, breaking the law, death entered the world. It entered the world, but death's got its day. How many ready for the time that'll be when there'll be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, none of that? Everything you ever wanted. You listen, I hear people say, well, I can't wait till I get to heaven. When I get to heaven, I want to go ask so-and-so this and that. No. No. It won't be like that. Your head full of questions is not going to be a head full of questions no more. I'm sorry to tell you. I know you'd feel better if you could do that. But when you get in his presence, what question is there? Your head full of questions is done. We got questions now because we live a life of uncertainty. We live in a realm of uncertainty. That's why we got to live by faith. We got to take the message and believe the message and follow Jesus like Jesus did by faith. Because there's so many uncertainties. There's so many people who said, man, I got a good job. I got a good job. And they wake up the next morning, the boss died. Company shut down. Their good job's gone. That fast. Just like that. And they had everything. They were planning. They done spent all this and all that. And they were waiting for next week's check. And it's gone. And they get all panicky. Because there's no certainty outside of what God has established for you and I. That's sure. Now this. Because there's things that. Tell me no things change. What happens to the weather? It changes. It changed. Do you know that if anybody here, by the way, all the youngsters that want to, if you're planning on going to college, you know it's a good thing you can do? Weather. You don't really have to know anything. Just get up there and say, sun might shine. Glory to God. It might rain. That's what they order you. They don't, it's going to rain tomorrow. The weather's going to, no, it never happens. Right? It's a guess. So you can, I mean, it's easy. You can go, they just teach you how to guess. Just threw that out there. Some of them struggling with what to take in college. You want to be a weather? I told you there's some craziness that God been protecting. No. Glory to God. Isn't God good? All right. Verse 7 now. In him, we have redemption through his blood. Do you see that? How many know we have redemption? Through his blood. Can we get redemption any other way? No. Then why is it folks that get on TV with 4 or 5 million people watching and make statements there are many ways to come to God? No. Not many. In him, Christ, we have redemption through his blood. That's it. You don't get it no other way. You can say, I behave, I'm pretty good, I think I'm a good person. That's fine. I think I'm a good person too. Listen, I also think I'm a millionaire. Then Charlotte, wake up, babe. Wake up. The clock's going off. And some people think they're the best looking in the world. They need to be woke up too. Get up. Leave me sleep. This is the best dream I've ever had in my life. So just because you think it, don't mean it. The redemption comes through his blood. How many understand that? We don't get fixed, and we are broke. Listen, at best, you can be the best behaved kid. You could grow up in the best home, Christian family, been in church all your life. Your DNA, my DNA, is tainted because we are born into sin. But there's one who was born with no sin. No sin. Because his father created him that way. That's why we have a second Adam. Now, there's a question that pops up, but what about his mama? If, you know, and all of the numbers and all, I can't do the numbers for you. I got them wrote down. I got them up there, but, you know, the chromosomes. And you don't need me to get into chromosome speech. I'm going to stick with the scripture. But I'll give you the short of it. The baby shares this split of chromosomes. And so we got Jesus born of the virgin, and people are asking the question, well, what about his mama blood? She's born in the sin. Right? So what about that? Well, here's the way I see it. We have Jesus with an original strand, and we have Mary with the strand that was original from Adam, but had been tainted all the way down the lineage till she got there. Was she born into sin? Absolutely. There's no getting around that. I don't care how, I know, and the theologians want to tweak it. You can't tweak it. You can't tweak it. I know she's a wonderful person. You understand? But she was born into sin. Can we understand that? I'm about to show you the power of Almighty God. When you get the original strand back in, it starts duplicating. Remember the little slide? I'll show y'all a little video. Remember that? And what happens, it's working. It's constantly duplicating. So the original strand is put in. And what does it do to the mutated strand? It fixes it. But it's got to be checked, right? So Satan says, hey, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be, you know you're hungry. Command these stones to become bread. Jesus says, watch this. That's a mutation. I'm about to fix that one. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And there goes, whoop, fix that strand. He was tempted at all points. He fixed them all. But y'all, is anybody hearing this? He was tempted in all points. He fixed every one of them. Yet he never sinned. He fixed them. He fixed them. And so it was pure. Because the blood is what we're dealing with. How do we have redemption? Through his blood. Let's not forget that. Through his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So does he take the blood? Yes, because where's the life at? In the blood. So your new life in Christ comes through what? The blood. It comes through the blood. And so that's why we have this. I want you to see that. He was tempted at all points, yet without sin. He fixed it every time. Every attack Satan tried to attack him with, he fixed it every time. To me, that's amazing. How many believe it's amazing? We have redemption, forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. So I want you to keep that in mind. Look at the next one. I'm running short. Colossians. Go to Colossians. Well, maybe we'll get 3 of the 15, and we'll have some to start with next Sunday. Colossians. How many thankful, by the way? To me, I'm getting more. I know we got Thanksgiving coming. The more I talk about this blood and with Christ, I'm getting more thankful every day. I'm so thankful that God has opened my eyes to see that. How many think we should pray for others that their eyes be enlightened? Paul did that. He said, ever since I heard of your faith, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. How many want to do what Paul did? How many has ever heard of people's faith? Do we think, we say, well, maybe it's just people we heard start going to church. No, what about people that you know that you're directly connected to that maybe they haven't come to the acceptance of that gospel yet, but you're going to still pray for them as if they heard of the faith. And that's very important to understand that. So keep that in mind as we go through this. Colossians chapter number 1, we'll look at verse 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Where were we? In the domain of darkness. But we've been rescued. Everybody say rescued. Rescued. I like rescued. Amen? Rescued. Very important. This is a value to us. You have to understand what being rescued is. If you've ever been lost, lost at sea, you can really relate to the value of what it means to be rescued. There's these shows you see where folks will fall in the water and they're going to drown. There's no doubt about it. The temperature's frigid, and then somehow they miraculously get the boat in position and throw a life ring and they rescue them. That's a rescue. And the scripture says we've been rescued. But there's been something that has crept in the church that we don't want to be rescued no more. We just want a break. So folks want, throw something for me to stand on to take a break. And then they're still in the water. That's not rescued. That's just you're holding on for a while, but the break's going to be over and you're not rescued. Let me tell you. If you're floating in a raft in the middle of the Pacific or the Atlantic Ocean and the boat comes by to rescue you, you say, do y'all have, just give me a little water to drink. Well, you get the water and they feel better. There's no doubt. And the boat goes off in the distance, then the water runs out. What do they need? Again, rescuing. Then the boat comes back and they say, well, you know, just give me more water. I need 2 bottles this time. You don't want us to give you like we'll bring you to the shore. No. So you get 2 bottles and that goes out. What do they still need? They ain't been rescued ever. Do you see where I'm going? Folks can be in church a long time and still not be rescued. They just getting their bottle of water. Is this helping anybody? We don't want to be a water service. We want to be a rescue service. We want to tell folks you got to get rescued. Because let me tell you, when I get you rescued, you can go on a bank, they got a pipeline of water. It constantly flows. You won't have to need a bottle here and there. You won't need a touch here and there. You can connect with Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. How many see the difference in that? So how many, when you read this, you got to understand that. How many has been rescued? So I'm thankful that we've been rescued from the darkness and transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. I mean, thank God you got the forgiveness of sin. And the enemy will play with people on sin. He'll keep that sin hanging out in front of you for a long time and make you feel bad. Some folks, people miss church because of sin hanging over them. Don't do that. You got forgiveness of sin. Listen, your neighbor might not forgive you, but God does. Your family member may never forgave you, but God did. Huh? Are you hearing what I'm saying? God ain't going to be the one holding out on the grudge, but folks, we do that to each other. There's folks that have been in church a long time, still got folks they don't like. Sipping on their water. You need rescuing, right? I don't want to be doing that. I don't want to think I got something and don't have it. I don't want to find out one day the Lord says, Jesse, depart from me. You're a work of iniquity. I don't even know you. That's what started my whole investigation of the scripture, re-looking at the Bible. I don't want to find out one day I've been just saying what somebody else said, never read it for myself and really thought it through for myself. And studied it out and then checked it with different folks and let them see, you know, what does God's word really say to us? And that's what we want. So listen, don't let bitterness or strife or envy stay there. Forgiveness. How many thank God for forgiveness? Well, He forgave us. And I'm thankful that He did. In verse 15, it says, He is the image of the invisible God. Do you see that? Who's the image of the invisible God? Jesus is. Is He God? No, He's the image of God. That's like saying, is the moon the sun? I'm going to ask you again, when the moon's in its brightest and its full, is that the sun? It's not the sun. How many have ever seen when it turns that orange color? Right? It's beautiful at night. It's beautiful. They say, oh, there's the sun. No, that ain't the sun. Never going to be the sun. But without the sun, you won't see that orange color. Because do you get that? And that's what is so important about Jesus. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Verse 17. For he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body. Who's the head of the body? Christ is. The church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Who's the firstborn from the dead? You got to think about that for a while. Did anybody die before him? Did anybody die before Jesus? What about Moses? Was he still alive? No, he'd been dead. He'd been dead a while. What about Joseph? Was Joseph alive? No, he'd been dead a while. Who's the firstborn from the dead? Well, we better think about that. If he's the firstborn from the dead, where all of us, the rest of the dead folks? Let's think about that. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Watch this. So that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Who gave him the fullness? Did he possess the fullness as in, for himself, alone? As an independent person, did he possess the fullness? No, he didn't get it. He didn't get it himself. He got it given to him. What about authority? Did he possess authority by himself? No. He said the authority that he had was a given authority. It was given to him from who? The Father, the Most High God. Remember that. Big difference. Verse 19, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Verse 20 is our verse. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he is now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order that to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And so I want you to think about that. What I want to do is next Sunday, I'm going to come and deal with the Colossians text, okay? We'll start here. I don't have the time to get into that because there's a lot of statements made that says this stuff was through him. Or by. The word through is, when you see the word through or by in the text, the Greek text, that's the translator's, he has his discretion which one to use. If you pull up the word, it can be done in amazing amount of different ways. So if I say by or through, it's the exact same word. There's no difference. That is used by the discretion of the translator. Period. There's no word for through in the in Greek. There's no word for by. They're both the same. So the translator has to write that in. So you got to make sure that when you say, so it says through Christ, we have this, or by Christ. All right? But when you study it out, what God is saying, and I'm gonna spend a lot of time on this next Sunday for you. We have to understand that it is through Christ. The thing that God had planned, purposed and planned from the beginning, that it would be through that plan coming to fruition that these things would be. So is he the firstborn of all creation? He is. He He's the firstborn of all creation. Did that mean that Jesus preexisted every other person that was born? That's a good question, ain't it? He says he's the firstborn of all creation. So that means, was he created first? Firstborn? Well, I want to ask you, when was he born? I read that he was born in Bethlehem. So you got to keep that in mind. So good questions. We're going to deal with that next Sunday. I promise you, come next Sunday, I'm going to show you exactly what he means there. If he's the firstborn of all creation, when was he born? Was he born in Bethlehem? Does that make him firstborn? Think about it. Go home, get your Bible, and just kind of get you a cup of hot cocoa or some coffee and relax in that Colossians text and say, okay, Lord, what are you saying here? Because that's good questions, and we ought to have answers for them. We ought to be, and I can't answer it in the next 3 hours, so I better let you go. All right? So, because there's no short answer to it. I mean, I could tell you a short answer, but there's no short answer to it. You have to look at the scripture. So I'll tell you this so it'll help you on your study. He's the firstborn from the dead, right? Was there anybody resurrected from the dead like Jesus was in the state of immortality up until him? If there was, then he's the second. Oh, if there was more than that, then no telling what number he is. I'm just going to go with God on this. He said he's first. To me, that means something. So it's the theme. He's talking about first. So he's the firstborn of all creation. Firstborn of all creation means the new creation. So when you study that out, keep that in mind. The new creation. Who's the firstborn of the old creation? He's not born, but he's created. Adam. But Jesus was the firstborn because he's the only one born that way. So take that in consideration when you're going through your study. Okay? Well, let's stand. We're going to pray. I want you to listen. Thanksgiving's going to be on Thursday. Enjoy yourself. Spend time with your family. Pray for one another. Be thankful. God is good to us. We have a lot to be grateful for. But don't let...